This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it is a Capitals podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world. That's the whole world, because one fan went to Antarctica to brag to an actual penguin about the Caps being the Stanley Cup champs. That's how the Caps do it. Welcome, everybody, to What the Puck. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Coach Dan, what is going on, man? So did you see the story about this Caps fan going to Antarctica, standing in front of penguins, showing off the Stanley Cup shirt?
I did see that, and I was like, I get it, but that's a bit...
Kudos to that guy.
That's an expensive, yes, I guess, but like that's an expensive joke to make.
I mean, I don't know the whole story. Like, I don't know if he was like there studying penguins and just happens to be a Caps fan, or if he went there just for the photo op. But I mean, still pretty cool. But here we are, Stanley Cup champs. It's mid-November, and the Caps, let's face it, the Caps could be off to a better start. Not really doing very well. I don't believe they've won, I think they've won back-to-back games, but not, you know, back-to-back nights. But they have won at least two in a row. They beat Edmonton, beat Pittsburgh last week. But the Caps have had...
There's an improvement!
The Caps have had a very up-and-down schedule. They lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets, and then they lost embarrassingly against the Arizona Coyotes. I think the Coyotes game is where a lot of fans, the Stanley Cup, has kind of rubbed off. And they're like, okay, we won the
goodwill from the cup.
Yeah, we've won the cup. We'd like to do that again. So let's buckle down, guys. I feel as if that's kind of been this week. What are your feelings?
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison between last season and this season, in that I feel like the conversations that we're having regarding how this team is playing is very similar. And the fact that there's a lot of the same players probably plays a role in that. I think maybe, you know, I kind of fought against it a little bit before, but maybe there is a little bit of the Stanley Cup hangover stuff going on. And I think some of it is a result of... It's just a weird thing with this team and sort of this organization in general going back years. The Capitals have always been known to be a team that sort of struggles, but you know they don't play very well at the beginning of the season, and then they go on a nice run. Usually, I want to say December, or January, they usually start to pick things up a bit. I mean, if you remember last year at this time, you and I were talking about Trotz being fired by Thanksgiving, and I know I brought it up last week. You know, do we start talking about Rudin, and is he, you know, on the hot seat with the way this team is playing right now? If you go back and look at the last week of games. Week or so, you know, you had a pretty good game in Edmonton. You had a very gritty kind of good game in Pittsburgh. You had what you could probably say is a bad loss to Columbus. A loss against an Arizona team that has, like, they have a ton of shorthanded goals. Like, they have an absurd number of shorthanded goals. It's kind of weird how that's worked out this season. But they had, you know, not a great loss to them. They did really well in Minnesota. And then kind of not, you know, crap the bed or anything against Winnipeg, but they just did not play well. They started out really well against Winnipeg and then just kind of dropped off. And I remember watching that game, and I think it was Benintendi was saying how quiet, it might have been Lachlan, was saying how quiet the fans were in the building. Is it M&T?
M&T Bank is the where the Ravens M&T play.
No, I know. What M&T... Dang it. I can't remember now at the moment what the name of the arena is in Winnipeg.
But
anyways.
That arena is known for how loud it can be because it's the smallest arena in the NHL.
And it was super quiet.
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculously quiet. And then Winnipeg scored a goal, and then the fans got back into it, and then they just kind of took over from there. And you saw the Caps, and maybe it's part of it was it's a bit of an exhaustion thing. Could have been that's, you know, apparently it's always freezing cold in Winnipeg. I mean, they were talking in the broadcast about how the sort of Minnesota-Winnipeg is like a hell trip kind of thing, or they were calling it Hell Week, because it's, for whatever reason, going to Minnesota and going to Winnipeg is incredibly difficult for teams. I don't, you know, maybe I'm just not with it enough, but I don't understand necessarily what may be the reason for that. I would feel like if you're traveling out and let's say you have the Western Canada road trip where you're going to Vancouver and Calgary and Edmonton, like I feel like that should be harder. The time zone is, you know, an hour. Would it be an hour more? 2 hours more? What's Minnesota, you think? Central?
I believe they're central.
So, all right, 2 hours more in Vancouver. I believe Calgary is mountain time, but I might be wrong. But at least you're going, you know, 3 hours difference from what you're normally in here in D.C. when you're out in Vancouver. So I feel like the Western Canada road trip should be the really roughest one. You know, the Caps right now have an opportunity to go away, but it's, I don't know, see why it's going to Minnesota, going to Winnipeg. They're going to go to Colorado on Friday. So I don't really see what is so difficult. Maybe you'd like an extra day off in between there so that you guys, you know, you have an opportunity for the team to bond, though I feel like winning a Stanley Cup should be plenty of opportunities to bond doing that kind of thing. But for whatever reason, this team, just like teams in the past, is continuing to struggle early in the season.
Now, during the lockout season,
and it's only getting worse because they have a bunch of injuries.
That's true. During the lockout season, Winnipeg played a very big part in that season because they played back-to-back nights against Winnipeg. You know, I think a Friday, Saturday, both in Winnipeg against Winnipeg, and that's where the season kind of turned around. So I feel as if they've got to hit rock bottom this season at some point. I figured it would be against Arizona, losing to them, but there's got to be that closed-door meeting where, you know, the captains and the leaders of the locker room kind of speak up and then things kind of change around. But let's go back to that Penguins game. We won't spend a lot of time on there, although the Caps did win. But man, when did TJ Oshie become the Capitals crash test dummy? Because that guy has been taking some hits. He's getting just knocked around. He got a stick to the eye or like right inside there. I mean, potentially could have been blinded by this high stick. No call. And then he gets hit in the head by Evgeny Malkin, and Malkin gets ejected, but no suspension or penalty or anything like that. Oh, not penalty, sorry. No fine or suspension for him. But then TJ Oshie does come back and win the game, and now his status is once again up in the air because he got rock-bottomed in Winnipeg and got his head kind of knocked around a little bit. So he's kind of up in the air about where he's going to – if he'll be able to play, but – let's go back to that Penguins game. I mean, he really did show he can kind of take a hit, get knocked down, get back up, and you want to see that in one of the leaders in your locker room.
Are you saying he's Chumbawamba?
That should totally be his nickname, is Chumbawamba. but that's what you want to see from guys like TJ Oshie, where, you know, they do get hit, they do, you know, get taken out of the game.
He's
a hockey player. That's right. I mean, you want to see that kind of grittiness from one of your stars of your team, because he really he put in the effort that night.
Yeah, it's a bit concerning that I think I was just reading a little bit ago that Oshie's had something like 4 concussions, and then we don't really know. I don't believe we know at this point sort of what his status is for tomorrow's game, though the Capitals have plenty of questions going into tomorrow's game just about some of the other players in general. But it's definitely a concern that if he has another concussion, you know, how many do you have before you just are like, okay, I'm done playing, you know, for my safety, for my future. You know, we see a lot of things going on with the NFL with players that have, you know, been hit so many times that they're not who they used to be. And you have to, you know, these guys need to think about life after hockey, because that is going to happen at some point. Everybody gets retired. Everybody gets retired. Everybody retires from the sport at some point. You eventually get to that age where your body is just not able to do what you need to be able to do to continue playing in the NHL. And so at some point, he's going to have to start thinking about his future. He's got two young kids, and obviously they want to have, you know, a dad for as long as possible. So the fact that he's getting hit, I think, is it's a bit of a concern. And it's, you know, I don't think that the league or players in the league are necessarily targeting Oshie. It's, I don't know what it is. It's just kind of weird that it's always him.
He just seems to be the guy this year that kind of gets those hits. And like we said, Josh Morrissey from the Winnipeg Jets, not suspended, but is getting a fine for the rock bottom. Do you agree
He's been fined the maximum allowable under the collective bargaining agreement. So for him, I believe this is based on your contract. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be fined $8,467.74.
Do you agree with that? Because we have Tom Wilson just getting back from his suspension, which was supposed to be 20 games. That got cut down to 16/14. We'll get into that later. You have Yevgeny Malkin, who does not get suspended. You have Josh Morrissey not getting suspended for these hits. Is the NHL kind of sending a mixed message of what's a clean hit, what isn't here?
Yes and no. I don't think people are ever going to be happy with how the NHL handles suspensions and things like that. I think their argument, it seemed to be the argument for Malkin, was that he was more trying to brace from the hit. It just happened to be that he made contact with with Oshie. So it was definitely a weird situation with the Malkin one. I don't agree with it. I feel like he definitely deserves something. But it could be he has a get-out-of-jail-free card. But then you look at the other ones, like the hit that Morrissey had on Oshie, what was it, last night? Jeez, feels like so long ago. Had on him last night was very similar to, and I'm totally blanking on the guy's name, but another NHL player did to Elias Pettersson in Vancouver, and he got suspended for two games. This is the guy we were talking about last week. He got suspended for two games. So the fact that the hits were very similar, one's a suspension and one is a fine, is a bit odd. And it definitely makes the NHL look a bit suspect in terms of there's no, like... And it's hard because every situation is different, but I feel like there's sort of a... If there's a similarity, then the punishment should be a similarity. Otherwise, you're just inviting more players to do these kinds of things.
And it is kind of interesting that they fine him the max amount, because I don't know if you saw this or not, but with the Tom Wilson suspension being lowered, it came out that a couple emails came out for the Department of Public Safety, and it says, like, we're going to get a lot of money for – we're getting a lot of bank for this. We're getting a lot of money. So it definitely seems as if a lot of these suspensions are money-driven, because the money goes into, like, a little kitty, you know, that they get to pull from to kind of pay for, like, retired players and some other bills in that way. Because they – didn't they just lose a lawsuit as well? Like, they owe a couple million dollars to retired players?
You know, I haven't seen anything about the law. I've seen something about the lawsuit in general that was being filed. I'm not sure which way it went. I you know, the emails going back and forth as to whether they're, you know, like, oh, we're going to get Wilson for more games because we'll get more money. I don't necessarily think it's that. I think it was more they're trying to send a message to him and to sort of the NHL that they weren't going to let that stand. A lot of it was just towards Wilson telling him not to be a but aside from that, it was, you know, he we talked about it before, four times in the calendar year, that's a problem. And, you know, he hadn't learned from his lesson. We'll see if he did, you know, if he has now.
Yeah, so let's go right into it with Tom Wilson. Originally 20 games, the independent arbitrator, he or she suggested they would go down to 14. Since we already passed 14, he served 16 games. He was eligible.
They're like, you're in.
Yeah, he was eligible to come back and immediately got into the lineup. And in his first game, Tom Wilson gets a goal and a penalty on the same play.
That was BS.
That was one of the worst calls I think I have ever seen called in a hockey game. That was absolutely insane. I understand pretty much they need to just rephrase it. Tom Wilson, 2 minutes for being Tom Wilson at this point, because that is all he got suspended or penalized for, because he did nothing wrong. It was the own wild player who knocked Tom Wilson into the goalie, and it was after the goal had happened. So it's not like he you know, had goalie interference so the goalie couldn't make the play. It happened afterwards. So stupid penalty there, but he got a goal. He got into a fight. He was one part away from a Gordie Howe hat trick. But Tom Wilson back into the lineup. What'd you think of them lowering the suspension?
I was a bit surprised. I kind of figured that was it, and he was just going to have to sit out 20 games. I thought it was kind of funny that he'd already missed 16, and they're like, oh, all right, we're reducing it to 14. And they're like, what? And a part of that was that he's going to get some money back that they were originally going to take away from him as a result of his suspension. So I guess that's good for him. Then again, I'm sure he's got plenty of money. But then having him come back was nice. The goal was nice. You know, he was going hard to the net. Mm-hmm. It definitely was not his fault. Like, if he had just run into the goalie after the goal had gone in, like, all right, that's fine. That's a penalty. The goal still counts, but it's still a penalty. But the fact that he was pushed into the goalie or forced into the goalie and then they gave him that is nonsense. I'd love to have heard the argument as to why that was a penalty as opposed to just, oh, well, he ran the goalie. Well, really? You think? Like, watch this and tell me if that's true. And I get it that, like, people make mistakes, but that one was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was...
Especially after they grouped up and, like, chatted about it for a while. I was like, okay, you guys have every opportunity here to make the right call. The guy's, and they're like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Dude, no. Don't do it. No. Dude, no. No. I'm doing it. All right, fine.
It's not really a penalty. Yeah, it'll be fun. Penalty.
Oh, Jigger gets so riled up. Did you see a difference in this team as a whole with Tom Wilson back in the lineup?
I mean, I think it definitely settles down a lot of the lines and that you have him kind of solidified on your first line. So that way the second line can kind of settle in a bit because you're not trying to find someone who can fit in on the first line, which then could cause a third line to settle in, the fourth line to settle in. Your roster just becomes more settled, and it's an opportunity for players to gel a little bit better and know where each other is going to be on the ice. As we see with the way this team plays, they like to do a lot of like sneaky passes and be a little fancy. And when you try and do those no-look passes, it's under the assumption that you know where that other player is going to be, given whether that is how they're supposed to be, whether it's a set play, or if you're just trying to be creative and make up something. The idea is that you have the chemistry to be able to pull that off and know where your line mate's going to be. And if you're constantly shifting things around, it's a bit harder to do that. Now, there's some argument that they should probably just not do that in general and just play hockey and stop trying to be so fancy. And instead of taking just a shot on net and look for a rebound, they try and look for the, you know, picturesque or the perfect pass to make a perfect goal when sometimes they could just shoot it. But it's nice to see him back because I definitely think that the team's going to play better. Of course, we say that after watching that Winnipeg game, that they can kind of, the lines can settle in a bit and they'll have, you know, before we saw all these injuries, and they can, you know, relax and start to play the game that they want to play.
Now, you, myself, Ryan Drury, who is a big time fan of the show. I mean, He loves listening to our show. Absolutely loves it. We were kind of not bad mouthing Andrei Burakovsky and Dmitry Orlov, but kind of giving them a little bit of a hard time on Twitter.
That's you guys. I don't. Wait, are you talking about the end of last year? Sorry, I cut you off.
No. I mean, we're just talking about them this week, and then the two of them come out and have both pretty fantastic games against Minnesota. So. You know, Andrei Burakovsky has kind of always been under the microscope the last couple seasons, and this season isn't any different. But Dmitry Orlov, he kind of has ups and downs as well. As this team is struggling, what's making these two guys kind of stand out and play a little bit more aggressive than we have seen in the last month or so?
Well, I think when you are given more responsibility, you either step up and take advantage, or you are overwhelmed and struggle. And it looks like, I think Vrana getting that being sent down to the fourth line, kind of giving him a little shot up the backside. And then Orlov, you know, with Kempney being out, with the Winnipeg game, was it Kempney was out sick, right?
Yeah, it's just illness.
Yeah, so he's out sick. Orpik's been out, and so he's going to have to step up as one of these veteran guys when you're bringing in Juice, who's only played one full season, and Bowie's been playing, who's been playing pretty well lately.
Yeah.
And then you're calling up and having Jonas Engenthaler make his NHL debut. If you're a guy like Orlov, you've got this big contract, you're going to start, you know, you have to step it up and you got to play better. And it sounds like he is certainly rising to the occasion.
Yeah, and that's what these guys have to do. They 100% have to do that. And Orlov, for me, I've never been the biggest fan. And Burakovsky is a guy that, you know, he's been benched a lot under the Trotz era. And we'll see how Reardon handles him as well. But it was kind of interesting as this team kind of went on a downward slope. These guys, of all people, kind of rise up and kind of take a little bit of charge, which is great, but just kind of unexpected for those two guys. But let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about the things that are also unexpected. And this team is pretty beat up right now, so bad that Phoenix Copley, our backup goaltender, became the man. He became the number one guy. Two games in a row, he started. Braden Holtby is day-to-day with an injury, an upper body injury. We have Michael Kempney out due to illness. Who else is out? John Carlson missed a game. Brooks Orpik.
Yeah, Carlson is one that he came back. If Orpik's been out.
He's long
term. It's weird. A lot of it happened in this Winnipeg game right before. Holtby went down before the Winnipeg game, and they had to recall the University of Manitoba, University of Manitoba's women's hockey coach, Gavin McHale, as their emergency goalie. But there's still no word on if the Caps are going to recall someone before Friday's game against, in Colorado.
Right. Isabel Krishoudian did say that Samsonov did practice, and Vitek Vanacek, he practices as well. And the third goalie is only there on an AHL contract, so there's no chance of him being called up. Vitek is just coming back from an injury, so I don't
say, wasn't he hurt?
Yeah, he was hurt. That was his first practice back today, and that leaves Samsonov to be the goaltender, which, again, Ryan Drury, friend of the show, he loves that kid, has given him the What the Pucky Skipjack of the Year, Rookie of the Year, the last 2 years in a row, and we've been talking about him making a debut in North America. He might be making it up to, in the big leagues sooner than we thought, because with Braden Holtby out, there's potential of him being the backup to Phoenix Copley.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Samsonov was the guy, because it sounds like he's the only one that might be available. I don't know if you want to recall Vitek Vanacek with him having just come back from injury and then maybe having to throw him out there. You know, you can have the, is it Parker Milner, I think the guy's name is, in Hershey, called up from South Carolina. He could play, and Vitek could, or like on a first name basis with him. Vanacek could back him up in Hershey, and then you could have Samsonov come up and back up Copley. But I feel like they play Friday. They don't play again until Monday. Both of those games are on the road. Depending on what's going on with Holtby, and the fact that they haven't recalled anybody makes me think that they feel like he probably can go in as the backup tomorrow. But I feel like they could probably ride Copley for the next two games and have Holtby ready to go at home next Wednesday against Chicago. But again, this depends on how long he's out. But this lineup right now is definitely going to be dealing with a lot of things going on, because you have your number one goalie out. You have two defensemen in Orpik and Kempney. You have your number one center and your second line right wing in Oshie that are out. We don't know how long any of these guys are going to be out at the moment, as far as I could tell. I'm just scrolling through again. Let's see. Kuznetsov, this is according to Isabel Krishoudian of the Washington Post. Kuznetsov's day-to-day. Holtby day-to-day. Kempney day-to-day. Hasn't heard on Oshie, but she's willing to bet he's day-to-day. It does seem to fit in there. I mean, everyone else is day-to-day. Just makes it easier to lump them all into the same category. My guess is, because the Kuznetsov thing, I'm guessing that's concussion.
I was going to say Kuznetsov is concussion, and Oshie is also concussion with that hit that he took at the end of the game.
I mean, Oshie's either concussion or it's like his upper back with the way he went down.
I mean, it was a nasty hit.
Yeah. His back or his neck. So hopefully it's not, I mean, it's bad to say, I hope it's his back and not his head.
Right.
Like, it's best to say, I hope he's not injured in general, but that doesn't seem to be the case. So we'll see. But also from Isabel Krishoudian, she retweeted from Ryan S. Clark, who I am looking up real quick, he covers the Colorado Avalanche for The Athletic. He's stating that Philip Grubauer will get the start against the Caps tomorrow.
Oh, of course he will. That makes total sense.
That'll be fun. Oh, Grubauer versus Copley.
Battle of the backups.
Although I hate saying it's goalie versus goalie, because that's just stupid sounding. Like, they don't play against, like, how often do you see a goalie actually take a shot? I want to see a goalie in a shootout one time.
I want to see these guys fight. Goalie fight tomorrow night.
Oh, God. That'll be so boring. Goalie fights are like, I don't know. They're kind of dumb, because they wear so much equipment, so it just looks like two sumo wrestlers, but they're not like sumo wrestling. They're just like trying to punch each other.
See, that's what they should do. They should not punch each other. Go to center ice and try to knock each other out of the center ice dot. That would be
actually so much more fun.
Yeah, that'd be way more fun. They need to add that to the All-Star break.
Though you're on ice, so I feel like it's really easy. Like, you just start going, you're like, oh, I can't stop. Don't really have a lot of traction. You could do like a hockey stop, try and, you know, turn your plate around, but it's not really going to work the same way. But yeah, they got a lot of injuries going on. though with the defense, that's kind of the biggest one. But it seems like Madison Bowie, for the most part, he stepped up his game. He's playing quite well. He's got a lot of confidence. And then Singenthaler made his debut. They brought up Aaron Ness, but then sent him back down. My guess is that he was just in case that Carlson ended up being on another game. But Singenthaler made his NHL debut. And I feel like this kid's actually, he's holding his own.
Yeah,
there, especially physically.
I thought he was
pretty
good.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's played quite well. So, you know, he's going to get sent down. That would be my guess once Kempney's back and Orpik is back. But I think, you know, if he continues, it's going to be a nice self-esteem boost for him. So I feel like when he goes back to Hershey, he shouldn't be too disappointed that he has to go back down. It's just the reality of the team as it is right now. But I feel like that's going to be a nice boost for him in his career because it sounds like, or at least it looks like, if he continues playing this way and continues to grow in Hershey, he'll be in the NHL next season taking Orpik's spot.
I thought
that would be my guess. And it's,
okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
I thought it was interesting that of all the choices they have on defense, that he was the guy they called up because even down in Hershey, he's probably one of the least experienced guys on the Hershey roster right now, right?
I like did something to all my bookmarks, so I can't even look up. I have to find Hershey's website to tell you. But I know, I mean, he is definitely a young guy, but I think he's one of the ones that the Caps are definitely looking at, and they are happy with. I feel like they've got to be happy with how he's played both in the AHL and, you know, with the last couple of games in the NHL. So he's one of their top prospects. I think, like, I feel like him and Lucas Johansson are the two top defensive prospects, and the fact that he's got the opportunity, comes out and actually played pretty well, looks good to me.
Now, all right, so we have potentially TJ Oshie if he's out. We have what's the guy's name that we got that played with played with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov last week? Picked him up at the season.
Oh my God, Yashkin. I was trying to remember how to say his name. I was like Jaskin. No, that's not right. Yashkin.
So he potentially could take TJ Oshie's spot. Now, if you say Kuznetsov is going to be out, who steps up for that center spot?
I think you bump up Backstrom. You bump up Eller. You probably put either Boyd or Dowd on the third line would be my guess.
Okay, so you don't see somebody from Hershey taking that spot either? We're going to just work internally?
Okay. No, I think you work – because you have the guys. I mean, was it last night? Because both Kuznetsov and Oshie got hurt in the Winnipeg game. So they already had, like, I feel like, two forwards that weren't playing. I think Boyd and – oh, shoot. Who? It was Boyd and somebody else that didn't play last night. Hang on, I'm looking it up. But I feel like you could have a lineup of – off the top of my head, I would say Ovechkin, Backstrom, Wilson, Vrana, Eller. And this is not really going back and looking at the lines and, like, what do they not want to mess with. But Vrana, Eller – Connolly, maybe, or Yashkin. And you could have like Connolly, Boyd, Burakovsky. And then I'm confused. I'm forgetting someone. Oh, Dowd, Smith, Pelly, and someone else. Chandler Stephenson, or something like that on the fourth line. Those lines probably aren't right at all. Like, I feel like I probably should put Stephenson up higher. But either way, you have enough players to have a lineup, and it just – I don't think they call anybody up. I have to go and see what Hershey's doing. And the problem is the Caps don't really have a lot of young forwards that they can call upon when they have got, like, offensive players that are injured. I mean, Boyd is probably, like, their prospect. I mean, you call up Riley Barber. He's got a – is he leading Hershey in points? I guess Barber could get a call-up if they really wanted someone, a right winger. He's got 11 points, 5 goals, 6 assists. That's not bad. They could call up Scarbosa if for any other reason he's got a fun name. He's a center, it looks like, so he's got 10 points. That's not bad. They could always call up your boy, Liam O'Brien. He's not really a goal scorer, but it could be fun.
He got called up last year, right? He played a couple games last year.
He played how many games he played. But you could also call up like Nathan Walker, bring him back up. They could call up Shumakov, the Russian kid. And they've got Shane Gersick, who they also could probably call.
Oh, that's right.
And bring them up. He's got a star next to his name on the roster, and I don't know why.
Huh. Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting to see what
– injured?
I hope not.
I don't know what's going on there. But either way, they have, like, young guys they can call on, but they're not – I don't feel like any of them can really fit into the top six. But then again, I feel like between Ovechkin, Backstrom, Wilson, Vrana, Eller, and either Burakovsky or Connolly or Stevenson, you have enough guys that can fill in the top six, depending on how long they think Kuznetsov and Oshie are going to be out. Now, if these are concussions, you don't know how long they're going to be out because they're tricky things.
Yeah. It's kind of up in the air with concussions. I mean, Backstrom, how many years ago that was now, where he got elbowed in the head. He was out for almost like 40 games. So, I mean,
look at a guy like Crosby who gets a concussion and he was out for a long time.
Yeah.
Never know.
He was out for like a year and a half because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. So, I mean, it's a scary situation to be in, but hopefully the Capitals have the backups and they can call on people if needed. But like you said, Wilson's back and, you know, he kind of brings consistency to that top line. But now if guys are injured, you've got a whole nother thing to worry about where they still can't be consistent with who's on the ice with whom. And we've kind of seen in the postseason, like when Lars Eller gets bumped up to the second line, he crumbles a little bit. He couldn't really handle that stress during the postseason last year when Backstrom was out for those couple games with that broken finger. So, I mean, there are certain guys that are comfortable on certain lines. Hopefully they can adapt the games as they go forward because, I mean, they have quite the stretch coming up at the end of the month.
Yeah, the schedule doesn't get a lot easier. It's interesting. I feel like this team's going to do better, if they had everybody playing at the same time.
Sure.
But also, if they had games, not back-to-back, mind you, but, you know, a game and a day off, then a game and a day off, because it gets them an opportunity to get onto a roll. I said that the last 2 weeks, I feel like, and they haven't really gone to a roll yet. You know, they've got 2 days off coming up this week, and they've got Saturday and Sunday off before they are in Montreal. And then they have 3 days off. They have the back-to-back next Friday and Saturday, one at home, one in New York, which is not that far, and it's a day game at 2 o'clock, so they can come home. Although I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed up there considering they're playing against the Islanders on Monday. But then they have 3 days off before they play New Jersey. But I think the biggest thing for them right now is to make sure or find out how long are Kuznetsov, Kempney, Oshie, Holtby, how long are these guys going to be out? And then they can decide on what moves they want to make.
And if they are up in New York, they should definitely go see the Office musical parody. It's right off Broadway on 50th. Saw it over the weekend. It's actually quite funny if you're an Office fan. Should go check it out. There's an entire song called "That's What She Said," and it's just "That's What She Said" jokes.
Of course.
anything else we should cover in Caps World before we get out of here?
No, we actually covered everything quite well. Well done.
Oh yeah. Well, we're professionals. We've been doing this for 5 years, so we try, right?
Sure, why not?
All right, so that's it for Caps World. We're going to go down on the farm and around the NHL. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It is time to go down on the farm talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. And there's one guy who is in neither of those places anymore, and we're going to hear about him. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, first, let's start in Hershey, where in the past week they went 1-1 with a win over Springfield. They currently have 15 points, which puts them sixth in the Atlantic Division with a record of 7-8-1. Oof. I'll be back at it on Friday. Well, considering they started 0-5, that's actually not that bad.
That's true.
And considering how terrible they were at first. They'll be back at it on Friday with back-to-back games at the Giants Center, with both of those being against Cleveland. In other Bears news, as you touched on just a moment ago, prospect Axel Janssen-Fjällby was loaned to Swedish team Djurgårdens. I feel confident that I said that correctly. A little disappointed that the kid was going back to Sweden. I don't know. We'd have to reach out to some people at Hershey to find out as to whether that was a result of his play or if it was a cultural thing. He just was more comfortable being back in Sweden for this particular season.
So,
we talked about this a few weeks ago. Just, you know, it's got to be hard for a young guy to just move across the world like that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, Hershey is not really, you think about it, Hershey there's not much to do there unless you're really into roller coasters. So, I mean, it's not like he can it's not like he can go to DC and find all different kinds of things to do. There isn't much in Hershey. So, you know, that had to be a little bit hard for him, but I think it was on Reddit that apparently he is kind of like a skinnier guy. He doesn't have a lot of muscle on him, and he was having trouble getting used to the smaller rinks.
He's got a ton of hair.
He's definitely got the flow going on. He's got a great man bun. But he was having some trouble with the smaller rink, and he took a huge hit this past weekend. And they're saying that that may have actually nudged him in the way of going back to Sweden this year, because it kind of showed that he wasn't ready for the league, because he's not big, he doesn't have a lot of muscle on him, so that maybe he's going back to Sweden to play, but also train a little bit better to come back next year to the U.S. and potentially be more NHL size, I guess. But at the same time, I feel like you could do that in Hershey and still learn how to skate around a smaller rink while in Hershey. But if he's more comfortable there, I guess that's the best thing for him. But with all these injuries that the Caps have, I feel like you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot by leaving and going back over to Sweden.
Well, it doesn't seem like he was necessarily tearing it up in Hershey in terms of goal scoring. So even with those injuries, he may not or likely would not have been the person that they were recalling. So I don't think that would have, I don't think it affects him long term necessarily.
Sure.
We've seen players that have gone back because they just weren't prepared. He's still a young guy, so if he comes over again next season and it works out then, no problems there.
I mean, we wish him the best. I wish I could have seen him in Hershey already. I'm kind of bummed that he's leaving, but I mean, if it's best
he's for him. He's probably glad I didn't see him in Hershey, because with my luck, I would have seen him lose.
Hey, if you would have went to the first five
games. They always lose when I see them.
But best of luck in Sweden. Hopefully he figures things out and can come back over. And
let's on down to South Carolina. The Stingrays went 1-2 with a win over Atlanta. They currently have 14 points, which puts them fourth in the South Division with a record of 7-6. They'll be back at it on Friday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Florida. And then Saturday also at home against Wheeling. They then play again on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. They'll be in Florida to take on Jacksonville and then Orlando. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Do what you got to do. Hopefully the Hershey Bears can get along without Axel more than Guns N' Roses could. So we'll see. So that is it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, welcome back. We are going around the NHL. Let me tell you, I was in New York over the weekend, and the Washington Capitals, the Stanley Cup champs, are well represented in the NHL store up in New York City across from Radio City. Got to see Ovechkin holding the cup all over that store. I moved Caps jerseys around so I could cover up Penguins jerseys while I was in the store.
I'm sure the employees working there greatly appreciated you doing that.
I know. I am a jerk. I'm sorry. I also got to see the Winter Classic jerseys for the Bruins and the Blackhawks in person. So that was pretty cool. But the Caps, well represented the Caps are well represented in the NHL store up in New York. But there is more going on around the NHL. So Coach Dan, fill us in. What's been going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in Ottawa, where Mark Obrowiecki did not get suspended this week. So good for him. I don't know if anybody remembers, he got suspended twice because he's a moron. Defenseman Paul Martin announced that he is retiring from the NHL. He played 14 years in the NHL with New Jersey, Pittsburgh, and San Jose. Speaking of Pittsburgh, they sent forward Carl Hagelin to L.A. for forward Tanner Pearson. And it's been a bit of a slow week there, Brandon, but we don't usually talk about injuries, but it's been a bit weird with the number of star players that have been injured. Now, outside of the Caps guys like Holtby and Kuznetsov and Oshie, Crosby's out in Pittsburgh, Chara's out in Boston, Vasilevsky's out in Tampa, P.K. Subban is out in Nashville, I believe.
Holy cow.
And that's just to name a few. There's a bunch of other guys, I believe, that are also injured that are big-name players. So it's been a weird –
couple of weeks in regards to injuries in the NHL. But yeah, that's the past. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
So before we get out of here, did you see the Blackhawks Winter Classic jerseys?
Yes, and I don't think I was impressed.
They're all black, and then they have like the Blackhawks logo and the name, everything in white. There's a couple white stripes down the sleeves. I don't know. I kind of dug them. They were so simple.
We're going to end up disagreeing on this. I'm just saying it now.
Well, we always disagree.
I haven't looked at it yet, and I already know I'm going to disagree. Hold on. That's a hat. NHL.com, you are the worst.
Correct.
First jersey. Although my sister just got a TJ Oshie jersey for like $140 already, or less. Because they had to sell. Why are you not doing what I'm asking you to do? Okay, here we go. All right. Well, the Boston ones are terrible.
Yeah, not a big fan of the Boston ones.
I don't necessarily dislike the color scheme, but the giant B looks stupid. that's worse than the Caps. And the Blackhawks is not bad, but it doesn't fit them as a team.
You see, the big B on the Bruins, I'm cool with. I don't mind that. I don't like the Bumblebee sleeves.
See, that's more like the Bumblebee sleeves kind of reminds me of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
The B reminds me of like I feel like that should be for like it's a baseball logo.
It does look like a baseball logo. I'll give you that.
Right? Like that just looks weird.
Like it kind of looks like the Baltimore Oriole B. It's rarely used. Not a lot of people know they have it, but it is there.
No, that's not what the Orioles B looks like, is it?
A little bit. It's a little bit thinner.
Okay. I'll say more like this looks, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, not a fan really of either one, to be honest.
If the Blackhawks one, if the Caps were to do something like that, I'd be down. I like it.
Oh, an all black? Don't they sell ones like that?
Yeah, they're called like Black Ice or something.
Yeah, some nonsense like that.
You turn the white lines into red lines. For the Caps, I'm down. And instead of black, just do like a dark blue.
Just go back to the freaking blue Eagle old jerseys from the late 90s.
You keep trying to bring that back, man. It's not coming back.
It damn well should.
All right, guys. If you want to continue the conversation.
I'm right. You know it, Brandon.
If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and you can tweet Coach Dan and tell him how wrong he is about that late 90s scorching eagle.
No, I'm not.
Where can people tweet to you at?
I have never been more right about this. I think that made sense. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter, apparently fight with me about fashion, at WTB Coach Dan, talking all kinds of capitals related things whenever it is I actually end up taking my phone out of my pocket to tweet during games, because usually I'm multitasking and doing something else.
You're not that busy.
You can on there talking about the Caps. In the evening, I'm trying to stay awake. I'm talking about the Caps.
Dude, hold on. Let me tell you real quick. Like, two nights ago, when the Caps were – who were they up against two nights ago? Was that
– That was the
– Was that Minnesota? Minnesota, yeah. I fell asleep at 9:30 in the middle of the third period. I don't know what happened.
This is what happened.
I'm old. I don't know what happened.
Apparently.
Yeah. All right, go on.
All right, so yeah, that's finding me on Twitter talking Caps, Arsenal Football Club, DC United when they were playing. Watched the U.S. team play okay today, but they got some stuff to do. We're talking soccer now at this point. Occasionally talking some other things potentially on Twitter. Not only talking skin, still a disgruntled fan. But yeah, that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. And if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. To where we post when we're going to have new shows as well as other things related to the Capitals, or where Brandon tries to talk smack to me about that stupid Flyers gritty thing. Don't think I didn't see that today, buddy.
One of these days.
That mascot is dumb, but those videos were actually pretty funny.
It was pretty funny, but one of these days I am going to sneak in some sort of diss to you, and you're not going to notice it. And it's going to live on forever.
Nope. Never gonna happen, but that's on facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, Why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brandocash Entertainment?
So go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brandocash Entertainment, What the Puck, and all the other podcasts that we do here. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's preview the games coming up until Coach Dan goes solo next week.
Yeah, it's a solo show next week.
Solo show next week. I will be busy eating lots of turkey. But on Friday, November 16th.
No, I'm not doing a show on Thanksgiving. Don't give them wrong information.
No, all
I'm
going to
try and get one in next Wednesday and try and get it posted, provided that my computer isn't a butthead.
Yeah, but all week, that's my plan.
So who knows? Jesus, that's a lot. I enjoy turkey as much as the next guy. But settle down, man.
So on Friday, November 16th, the Capitals are in Colorado up against the Avalanche and Philip Grubauer. That game starts at 9 o'clock. You can watch it locally here on NBC Sports Washington Plus. And then on Monday, November 19th, the Capitals are in Montreal against the Canadiens. That game is at 7:30, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. And then a new show before the Caps against the Blackhawks on Wednesday. Coach Dan will let you fill you in on everything going on through the week. So, I mean, that's a little bit – that's tough. Those are some tough teams. Chicago's struggling a little bit right now. They fired their coach. Colorado is Colorado.
And how is he still not employed, by the way?
I know.
He doesn't want to be employed at this point. Maybe he's just done.
I mean, we were saying how he was going to – like – it was negative time. He was going to be like, all right, you're fired and you're rehired by someone else. Like, that's how quick I thought it was going to be.
I wouldn't have been surprised if it happened that fast.
Yeah, but just crazy. But Montreal, that's going to be a tough one. Hopefully we'll get some guys back in the lineup. But if you're in the U.S. and listening, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Enjoy yourselves and have fun. Coach Dan will take care of you next week. So that's pretty much it for the show, Coach Dan. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hope you have happy a good Thanksgiving, one. Sir.
Hope you have a good one. Turkey, parades, well, football, all that good stuff.
Get some pie. No, you need to get some pie. Brandon, what's your favorite thing to eat at Thanksgiving?
Man, I'm a stuffing guy. I like stuffing.
Really? I don't really like stuffing.
I'm a stuffing guy. That's I dig that.
What about stuffing is interesting?
I will eat any kind of bread. Doesn't matter.
Let's dissect what Brandon likes to eat.
Let's see. Stuffing's good. You can't go wrong with turkey. Can't go wrong with cranberry sauce, sweet potatoes, regular potatoes. Oh, man, this is just a great day. Really is. And then
you got to see
pumpkin pie. You gotta have some pumpkin pie.
There you go. There it is.
So you're a pumpkin pie? You're not a pecan pie guy?
No. Pumpkin pie is amazing. I like pie in general. I'm like Dean Winchester in that way. I will definitely always eat some pie.
You got to come up to Baltimore, man. There's a place up here called the Dangerously Delicious Pies.
Where?
That place is legit in Canton.
I gotta tell the wife we're going to Baltimore. Get in the car.
All right, everybody.
Pie. I like people are always like, do you like pie or cake? I don't know why you can't like both.
It's true.
Smith Island cake, of course.
Smith Island cake is the greatest cake in all the world.
It is amazing.
Yeah, that is some good cake. But you can't go wrong with pie. You know, blueberry pies are my favorite in the summer. Love blueberry pie. It's good pie. You know what my favorite pie
That's
is?
True.
I probably shouldn't answer. All right, so that is pretty much it for the show this week, everybody. Say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brandocash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
If Copley played...
Hold on, one sec. Hold on, sorry, hold on. My cat stepped on a cable. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
All right, start over. There was another. Do you remember? God, this was so long ago too. It was probably 2010. There was a guy that he was Swedish that would hang out with Johansson and Backstrom during the training camp. Didn't want to go to Hershey. Went back to Sweden, and they brought him back during the playoffs just to skate with the guys. Do you remember him? Oh, I can't remember his name.
Was it someone they drafted?
It was someone they drafted, and he came over. They pretty much just brought him in the postseason just to skate around with the guys, because I think Hershey was still in their playoffs, so they just needed like an extra body during practice. He never played, but he went back.
Is that Anton Gustafsson?
No. I'm not going to remember the name, but
he's a kid of. Bent Gustafsson. Oh, I'm hitting the wrong button here. I'm going back and trying to look at the Caps draft history to see if I can figure out who you're talking about. I think you're talking about Gustafsson.
He signed.
I feel like that's right.
The Weagle I have. So I mean, I met him. I don't know who he is. I was like, here, sign this, and he just said something in Swedish to Marcus Johansson. They laughed, probably at me, but I don't remember. So I was. We're just kind of thinking, like maybe we will see Axel the end of the season back here, just kind of practicing with the main club. But I don't know, we'll see.
I'm guessing it was Anton Gustafsson, but that's just me.
I want to say it was an S, like a Shane or Sean or something like that. I don't know.
He's a goalie.
I want to say it was 09 or 2010 because it was during one of the Caps cons.
Galiev?
No, he's Russian.
Yeah, I know. I'm not seeing anybody you might be talking about.
Yeah.
My guess is you're talking about Gustafsson. It sounds about right. I believe he's Swedish.
All right, everybody.
All right, wait.
Yeah. Matthias Sjöström.
Oh, I don't think they drafted him.
I knew it was an S.
Yeah, I vaguely remember who you're talking about. Was it Sjögren?
Maybe. 2011. He signed as a free agent to a 2-year contract.
And he was like, no thanks.
After training camp, he was assigned to the AHL affiliate Hershey Bears in November. He elected to return to Sweden. After becoming displeased with the Capitals for not calling him up from the Bears.
Matthias Sjögren is currently playing with, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but Rögle in not the Swedish main league, some other league. But he played with Zurich for the last 2 years. He's in the KHL 2015-16. Interesting. Okay.
That's a
nice callback.
That's a random fact right there.
Yeah, that was definitely random. All right, you want to do the intro again?
Yeah.